Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ian Happ now.
Ian Happ, outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
Happ leaps and makes the catch along the indentation of the wall.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
I did not sleep last night. If I go over there and ask you to turn it down, and you don't turn it down,
you're going to see angry Ian, too. That's not good.
I'll start breaking down doors.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Get out the tape measure, long gone. One of the longest home runs Happ has ever hit to right field in this ballpark, bar none.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Vote for this man. Find him the votes. He's running this stealth all-star campaign at the moment, and he's too humble to go out and do it for himself. That's just not his style. So we're going to have to help do it for him with the guys in the Compound Podcast. Ian Happ is on Twitter at IHAP_1. The Cubs outfielder joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Ian. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Man, we are great. And since Dan brought it up, on MLB.com today, there is a Will Leach piece about stealth all-star candidates. And guess who he has slated as the Cubs' stealth all-star candidate?
I'm guessing me.
It is you. It is you, Ian Happ. You are the stealth candidate for the Cubs. I know that the players kind of grouse at the idea of campaigning, but what would it mean to you if you were an all-star?
It would be incredible. I think, some of that stuff, you just go out and you play every day and you just try to put together the best year you can. But, one of those things that you dream of as a kid, being recognized by the fans, by your peers, as being deserving of playing in that game is something that is it's really, really special, and it would mean the world to me.
Do you have any memories of All-Star games past? Like anything that you remember from watching the games or the guys line up or anything like that?
Yeah, I think just as a kid watching the games, watching the Home Run Derby and some of those great derbies with, Ken Griffey Jr. and Sosa, McGuire, and those guys. And then, it was an event. It still is. It was something that when you were a kid, you would tune in to watch, those guys compete against each other and how special that was.
I don't think I've ever asked this. Who was your first favorite baseball player?
First favorite baseball, yeah. Omar Vizquel. That was because I grew up as an Indians fan, and so switch hitting shortstop, Omar Vizquel was he was the guy for me.
Yeah, it's a little problematic now, but I'm surprised. So it wasn't a Pirate, because you were in Pittsburgh, sort of too late for the childhood imprinting?
Yeah, it was more Cleveland. It was the guys that were on those teams, and then kind of as I got older, it was Chipper Jones and guys that were kind of across the league, really, really good players.
Another switch hitter, yeah.
Well, a different, similar question. Whose swing were you emulating the most when you were younger?
That's a good question. Early on, I'm trying to think, early, Albert Pujols was always one that you would that would come up. But then it was Josh Hamilton for me, left-handed. That was the big one. When I got to middle school, high schools. Like Josh Hamilton was in his prime. And that was one that I always enjoyed watching. And I think there's a little bit of similarity there in my left-handed finish, just probably from all those years of watching him hit.
Is there anyone in the game now where you look at their swing and you go, oh my God, that's gorgeous?
I mean, yeah, plenty of guys. I think like Wilson Contreras is always one right-handed that his swing is just like, oh, that's a powerful move. And then like some of the best players in the game, you know, you watch Trout hit, that move's unbelievable. I'm trying to think of like a lefty, just pretty swing that, that is, I mean, I loved watching Riz hit. Riz was one that his the guys you play with, you just watch him hit so much. Riz is the way he would pimp home runs, and his whole body would freeze up. He'd go rigor mortis. It was pretty good.
You survived the squirrel attack. We played all the different calls of that at PNC to just hear how. So what's running through your mind? It's like, oh, okay, I guess we're gonna do this now.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where you see it start to creep onto the field and just like, oh no, please, please stay off the field. Just go back. And then as it's running around, crowd gets into it. Then at some point, you know, they're going to have to come remove this thing or retrieve it. And then it was pretty funny as it got to the bullpen. And then you just see some of the grounds crew members laying under the bullpen bench trying to get this thing to get out of there.
Any other issue? We've seen, I know the Texas League has had all kinds of snakes on the field. They get armadillos. There's all sorts of regional things at the minor league level. Anything from high school, college, or minors?
No, I can't say that. I can't think that in the minors we either had a raccoon in the dugout or something like that in the minor leagues. That might have been in Tennessee. One of those type of things. But I've never had like a crazy animal incident.
Ian, how fun was Sunday?
It was great. I mean, to take a series, to go in to St. Louis, team that's playing really good baseball, and play three really competitive games like that. I think the last years we had with them was super competitive, and this one, same thing. And just to be able to mount a comeback there on Sunday and then hold it down and have one of those kind of felt like a really uniting team win where the little things happen throughout the game. Everybody contributes. I think Nico's play in the 10th there was unbelievable when Robertson goes out and throws really well and goes after, you know, the 3-4 hole there. That's a pretty impressive way to win a baseball game.
I know we've talked about Nico before, and I've been following some of the guys, the people I really respect analyzing the game. I know Matthew Trueblood and some of the people who work for Baseball Prospectus are starting to change the overall scouting reports on Nico just because of how quickly he's improved. If he can stay healthy, looking at him as one of these, you know, it's from my past, like a Rick Burleson type, like maybe not a star, but a solid starter quality everyday shortstop who helps you win in multiple ways and can do it for 10 years. Like there, and I know his draft status would reflect that, but from a guy who's really battled through and really had to deal with a lot of frankly reasonable doubts about what he can and can't do, he may be close to establishing himself there.
I think he's been really impressive on all fronts. I think he's still, from an offensive standpoint, like he has such a knowledge of what he does well, and there's some room for growth there that he knows, or he has an understanding of, like, okay, these are the things I have to get better at. You know, he's going, at some point he's going to walk more, he's going to get on base more. You know, he's always going to hit for a high average. He's going to find some power in there because he knows what he's trying to do. And so, like, I believe that there's, as good as he's been offensively, like there's definitely another level that he's capable of reaching. And he's like well on his way to that. And a lot of people also he's only had 500 major league at bats or something like that. You know, he's going to learn so much in the next 500, the next 1,000 major league at bats. And I'm really excited for that. And defensively, he's been an absolute stud. I think the metrics back that up. you know, he's going to be a high WAR player because of his ability to play good defense and to have the athleticism and the range that he does.
These were the names. I'm going to quote Matthew Trueblood directly just because he's really good at this stuff and always has been. He said, I think the spectrum of outcomes is extremely wide. He said the floor is Ryan Terrio's short arc as a useful player. But if he's healthy, the spectrum is Rick Burleson, Jim Gantner, Orlando Cabrera, Steve Sachs. I found that an interesting cloud of names for somebody who at least, you know, saw all those players play.
That is quite the spectrum. I really do think that he's a player right now that is not getting a ton of recognition, and that you will see in the next couple of years to be always up there in WAR metrics, always up there in kind of, this guy is a very, very good Major League Baseball player, and he's super dependable. He's good in the clubhouse. He really wants to win every single day, and like those things that really make him a great teammate.
Ian, considering your journey, your major league journey, when you look at a guy like Chris Morel, and you see, like, he got off to a really wonderful start. He's in a little bit of a valley right now. What can you offer a player like that if they ask? Like, what things do you think are valuable from what you've been through to get and to stay here?
Yeah, it's just you got to keep learning every single day. And I think the game changes on you so fast as a young player. It can speed up. It's every day. And the way teams are pitching you, the way teams are attacking you, it changes really quick, and you end up in a situation where, you know, teams see one little weakness and they exploit it, and they're going to do it every single day until you figure it out or make a change to that. And so, you know, he's just going through one of those little, which we all go through, and it's completely, you know, normal. But as a young player, it's understanding, you know, the quickest way to get out of that, what, you know, not to get deep into your own head and just figure out, all right, what's the league trying to do to me? Take a step back. What's the league trying to do to me? And how do I kind of make that adjustment back? Because those things happen at such a rapid pace early in your career.
You and Dakota Mekas and Zach Short had a fascinating conversation. We were talking about, I believe it was the injury to Machado. And it was a discussion about Major League Baseball players who play full seasons, of guys who are going to play 160 games in a year or just are always out there. And I found it really interesting to hear how you talked about, for lack of a better term, budgeting energy and or effort. And not in a way that says a guy isn't trying, but how to know when to go 80%, when to go 85%. And I want to make sure I do it justice to hit on how, from a professional aspect, you look at that. Like, what is the primer on, for if a guy wants to play a full season, how to do it without getting hurt and while still keeping up effort?
I think it's something that on the surface to fans doesn't always sound like the most popular or exciting thing to talk about, but every fan base, every teammate should want their best players to be on the field every single day. And so, you know, what does that take from a player? What is that budgeting? You know, if you go out there and you play 120% every single play every day, you're going to burn yourself out and you're not going to be able to make it through 162. Probably going to tweak something, hurt something, or when you do need that last leg of energy. We just played 17 straight, for example, the Cubs. And so when you get to that 16th out of 17 days, it's 100 degrees in St. Louis. You know, how much do you have in the reserves to be able to make that last, you know, play in the ninth when you do need the run or something like that? So I think it's all about, you know, understanding game situations, understanding that in the big leagues, for the most part, you're out by a step or half a step every single time you hit a ground ball. You know, guys are really, really good. They have great internal clocks. You know, if there's a run on the line, if this is a play that,
did we just lose Ian?
It sounded like he was like ejected from the plane or something.
Yeah, it sounded like someone was like starting a lawnmower almost.
Or it's like, remember in Men in Black when they flush the facility?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I think we got it back. You okay, Ian?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right.
All right, so you were saying like the players are thrown out by a step or a half a step on every play.
Yeah. Yeah, guys are out by half a step on every play. They have really good internal clocks in big leagues. And then, you know, you learn from veterans about how to conserve your energy when, you know, when it's Sunday night baseball and there's 2 minutes in between innings instead of a minute 30, getting out with, you know, 1 second, 1 minute left on the clock, or hey, it's 100 degrees today, get out with 30 seconds left on the clock. And, you know, the little things, not to take BP on a day when it's 100 degrees. It's just all those little things add up, and the guys who play every single day have to do a great job of you know, budgeting that energy and making sure that they are out there for 160, because there's so much more valuable being out there for 160 games and conserving some energy at times versus getting hurt and, you know, missing 30 games of the season.
How do you go about balancing, I don't feel 100% today versus I need to talk to a trainer because I don't feel 100% today?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's, when you've played for long enough, you kind of have an understanding for your body of when things, hey, this feels like something that is going to be a tough thing to get through, but, you know, isn't going to impact my performance. And there's some things that are, hey, this is worrying me a little bit. I think I need 24 hours to figure out if it's more serious than it is. And I think those, you know, kind of those calls throughout the course of the season, we play every single day. So you're making those calls kind of based on, all right, where are we at in the schedule? If I take today, you know, does that give me another off day in 2 days? You know, if I take today, do I have a day game today and a night game tomorrow that gives me long enough to rest? Like, you just look at all those factors to try to make sure that you're giving yourself the best chance to be in there as often as possible.
We were having a discussion earlier about the lockout and not being able to be in touch with organizations. When it came to your off-season workout, do you think that had any effect at all, that you weren't able to be in touch with the Cubs about what you were doing?
No, I mean, I think there was definitely guys that it impacted more than others. You know, there was, I'm sure there were pitchers and guys that were going through stuff, and if things crept up, that there was more of an impact for me personally. You know, going through my process and my off season, like, there wasn't that much of an impact, but guys were on different ends of the spectrum as far as how much involvement they have from the team in the off season, from training staff, from weight staff. So I do think it was just a pretty broad spectrum of who felt kind of the most impact from those times.
What's the latest you have going on in your sprawling charitable empire via Connect Roasters and else?
Yeah, we have the first tee golf event coming up in a couple weeks. Excited for that.
Where's
the
that?
Waveland Project. I think it's at North Shore. The Waveland Project that they did, or continuing to do at Cindy Maravitz, is going really well. They just laid sod, I believe, for the practice, putting green, everything. It looks fantastic. And the Morale Blend from Connect Roasters benefits the first tee. And Connect is about to send out all of the Dinger dollars for June at the end of the month. So we're super excited about that. And have a couple more days for the Cubbies to go out and hit some home runs and add to that total.
You know, the best thing, I was talking to the starter at Maravitz. One of the reasons why they can't wait for that practice green to be done is because without a practice green, people are always like right on time for their tee times or slightly late for their tee times. So they're always calling out a name and people will come running up, because if you're at like Robert Black or Jackson Park, the other Muni courses, you're around there because there's a practice green. But because there hasn't been anywhere to hang out, it makes the starter crazy. So all the guys who work for that company who actually handle the starter's responsibilities know that there's sort of an ancillary knock-on effect there.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very excited for things to get back on time.
Yeah, indeed. Ian, thank you so much for your time, as always.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.